still left. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry is sitting right over there, everybody. If you have a diagram of the show on your
floor plan,
you'll notice that I'm where Wendy usually stands, and then Harry's where I usually stand.
Justin Kaufman left this seat toasty warm for me.
Yep.
Thank you,
by
Justin.
By design. All by design. Alexander Zelbin joins us right now. Alexander is the managing editor of Decider.com, a great website if you like entertainment and television news. How are you, Alex? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's cold here, but otherwise I'm all good.
Oh, good. That's good news. Harry and I discussed this at the top of the show, but I want an expert opinion on this. Kevin Hart, who had been named to host the Academy Awards, is out as host of the Academy Awards because of some things, some jokes that he had made years ago, very homophobic jokes. I said, and Harry was on the same page, that he kind of handled this as poorly as he possibly could have. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I agree. I think that was the main, not the main issue here, but definitely the big second issue here, because it's pretty well known what his humor was about before he became a big, bold, mainstream family star with films in the past couple of years. And he could have very simply gone back, deleted those tweets, apologized. Instead, he very strangely doubled down and said essentially that this wasn't an issue or anything like that, and people should just move on. And that only incensed people more to the point where he bowed out of the ceremony. If he hadn't made that second step, if he had made an earnest apology, explained how he has changed, I think there still would have been controversy. It would have popped up during the night, particularly on Twitter. But ultimately, he would have been okay. But that's not the way things went.
Alex, remember a couple of years ago, the show was set to be produced by a guy named Brett Ratner, who's in, he's a movie producer. He was going to produce the Academy Awards, and some things came to light about him, and he very quickly bowed out. Remember that?
Yeah, we were actually talking about that in our morning meeting. Our Oscars expert here is Joe Reed, and he was bringing up that it's kind of insane that in the past 10 years, the Oscars, which should be a very progressive ceremony in Hollywood, has had very similar issues with people intimately involved in the production twice in under a decade.
Yeah.
And that's something they really have to work, particularly this year, on fixing, given that the spotlight is on them in this way.
Alex, the Golden Globes nominations have come out, and I have found myself loving all 10 episodes of the Jim Carrey series on Showtime, Kidding, in which he plays a Fred Rogers, a Mr. Rogers-type character, only with the dark side. In the first episode, they show how he's lost one of his kids in a car accident. It's a great cast. Judy Greer is in it, and Frank Langella, and Catherine Keener. Where do you view Jim Carrey's show Kidding?
Well, that was a huge surprise, honestly, when the nominations came out yesterday. Overall, Showtime did really well. They're not necessarily known for their award-nominated shows all the time, but they made out very well between that and another surprise nomination for Sacha Baron Cohen. Again, getting back to Joe Reed, who's really the expert here, but he feels pretty bullish on the fact that Jim Carrey is going to win, and I agree, mainly based on the fact that the Hollywood foreign press loves huge movie stars. This is him becoming a little dowdier, you know, being more serious with his performance, something he's done on screen before, but he's doing digging in a much deeper way on Kidding. And I think they'll probably reward him for that.
Do the Golden Globes hold more water than they used to? There was a time where they really were kind of not laughed at, but not considered to be the creme of the creme of the awards. Has it changed at all?
In some directions, yes, and in some directions, no. Certainly, they can be a good indicator of where things are going for the Oscars, which, of course, are the big awards of the season. So when you see things like Green Book, I would point to in particular, pulling ahead with a lot of nominations, that seems a lot like this year's Three Billboards, if you remember last year, a film that people thought, oh, I'm not that crazy about it, but critics seem to love it. And it seems to do really well when awards time came around. So it can perceive things in that way. And then there are other things that are just kind of globes being globes, them ignoring a lot of things that didn't necessarily get picked up. Widows, for example, pretty much got snubbed, which was a little surprising. What else? There was also Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan for Black Panther.
Yeah.
I don't know what their chances are for the Oscars, but Black Panther was a huge surprise getting a Best Picture nomination. That's wonderful. Certainly something they're gunning for with the Oscars. But to leave out the major players there on the other awards is very strange. So, again, it's as an award show, it's often a lot more fun to watch because everybody's getting a little boozy. Everybody's having a little fun. It's more of a party.
Right.
but it more caters towards the international press and the international side of things than necessarily what's going on domestically.
The hosts of the Golden Globes are Andy Samberg, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember who else. There's somebody else who is named.
Kevin
Hart.
Comedy
duo. Yeah. Classic comedy duo. Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh. We all
right.
know them. We love them from all their films together.
Yes. I can't think of one without the other.
Andy and O.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because they had a really standout bit on this year's Emmys where they made fun of the La La Land Moonlight thing that happened back at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Everybody loved it. Everybody put up articles afterwards saying, oh my gosh, they were so great. They should host the Emmys next year. Those articles always go up. Last year at, I believe, the Oscars, it was Tiffany Haddish and Maya Rudolph had a standout bit, and everybody said, oh, they should host next year. But those articles always get ignored. This is, I think, the first time that I can recall in entertainment journalism history where those articles have forced people to choose the hosts for another show.
But you know what? As great as that is, it's one thing to do a three-minute bit when you're a presenter as opposed to hosting a four-hour show. It's a huge, mm-hmm. huge difference, you know?
Yeah, I think what gives me a lot of confidence there, I love Sandra Oh, and she is remarkable on Killing Eve, and she's very funny and off the cuff and well-spoken, and he's going to play well. But Andy Samberg knows this stuff inside and out. He's done the hosting gig before. So I think his experience and her just overall wonderful performance is definitely going to make it a very interesting, very weird night. But I'm kind of looking forward to it.
And, you know, on the topic of Andy Samberg, his show, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I enjoy very much, did something very few shows do. It was sentenced to death by one network and then resuscitated by another network. Do you believe that this is a trend that will happen with other shows, or is this just people found, you know, there was a niche for a Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I mean, that was something that happened pretty big this last season with a lot of different shows getting canceled on one network and jumping to another or getting a last-minute reprieve. Brooklyn Nine-Nine was one of those. Lucifer went from Fox, where it got canceled, over to Netflix, where it's going to have a new season premiering at some point in the new year. And certainly that's something, as networks have gotten more comfortable with it, they've been pushing for, because everybody is looking for a reliable brand. But Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a unique thing because it's arguable it should have always been on NBC. It feels like an NBC show. It's co-produced by Mike Schur, who has The Good Place and did The Office and Parks and Rec for NBC. So it's something that feels very much at home on the network. So maybe a slightly different case, but yeah, I think we definitely will be seeing more of that going forward.
It happened with the Mindy Project years and years ago. It happened mm-hmm. with Taxi toward the end of Taxi's run. It switched networks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it happens.
Tim Allen, right?
It's happening with Tim Allen right now. Yeah, yeah. So it's their way of saying we still have some juice in us. Don't give up yet. There's still more fun to be had, right?
Bill,
yeah, absolutely.
Bill, are you saying juice or juice?
Juiced.
Okay.
Juiced up. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break, and then more discussion of television with Alexander Zalbin of Decider.com. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. You can reach us there. It's Bill Laff. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry sitting in for Wendy. She'll return on Tuesday. Alexander Zalbin is our guest. He's the managing editor over at Decider.com. What a wonderful website, Decider.com. I learn so much every time I visit there. Alex, this isn't on our sheet of things to talk about, but I'm just curious because this is something I heard. Murphy Brown is done or not?
No, it's not. There was a confusing announcement that came out that they were wrapping up their season after, I believe, 13 episodes.
Yeah.
And everybody immediately ran with that as, well, Murphy Brown's canceled. That's it. So immediately the showrunner came out and said, hey, guys, we're not canceled. We haven't officially been picked up for a season two, but don't, you know, ring the alarms yet or anything like that. So the ratings have been pretty solid for the show, and it seems to be gaining a little bit of buzz in terms of the plot lines. I wouldn't be surprised to see it come back necessarily, but also, you know, things get canceled all the time. So right now, put a pin in that one. We'll talk about it later.
I have to say, I was a huge fan of Murphy Brown in the early days, and I want it so badly to succeed. But unlike some of the other shows that have resurged after taking sometimes a decade off, I just don't feel that the energy is there like it used to be. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I think it has had a little bit of a hard time, particularly because it's trying to stay so current.
Yeah.
And back in the day when Murphy Brown was doing that, you didn't have not even, you know, weekly comedy shows doing current events, but now we have daily shows. We have Twitter going constantly and social media. We have 24-hour news networks and comedy channels. So to keep current, but to film a sitcom in weeks in advance, it doesn't quite work like that. So I think they've struggled a little bit.
On the topic of Thursday night lineups, you were just talking about The Office. One of the guys from The Office has come up with Superstore, which I think is getting better every week. It's a large ensemble, but, you know, I like the way that they give people that characters that maybe have had one or two lines get, you know, huge meaty parts in particular episodes. What do you think, Alex, of Superstore?
I think it's really accurate to compare it to a show like The Office or a 30 Rock. It's not tone-wise like Seinfeld, but it's definitely one of the very few shows today that's really built steam and audiences as it's gone. It's gotten more confident. It has, unlike Murphy Brown, done a really good job of embracing issues, but in a really fun and funny way, and pushing them forward. And like you said, it's really developed the characters and developed a following.
Alex, there's a couple shows that are either premiering or about to premiere this week. I want to start out with a show called Counterpart, mostly because one of my favorite character actors, J.K. Simmons, is in it, and he's playing a secret agent. Please tell me it's good.
Yeah, it's superb. There's actually the first season debuted earlier this year on Starz, so it's a little strange that they're debuting the second season this Sunday at 9 p.m., but that's great news for any fan of the series. I've got to spoil a little bit of a twist because you find this out in the first episode. He's just kind of this down on his dumps, Willy Loman-esque guy trudging through a job that he doesn't really understand when he encounters himself. And himself, the other one, is a very cool, very slick secret agent. It turns out that the company he works at is sort of this portal to an alternate reality where things are changed just a little bit. It's not crazy alternate reality. It's not Man in the High Castle or anything like that. It's about 10% different. And they end up teaming up together to work to unravel these conspiracies that are affecting both their worlds. If you're not a fan of sci-fi, don't worry about it. That's sort of a very light element underneath it. Mostly, it's a very well-done, exceedingly well-filmed, and well-acted spy caper. It's a ton of fun, and you should definitely check it out.
It's called Counterpart. It's on Starz. Now, help me with this part of it again. I didn't know there was a first season. Will I be lost if I pick it up here, or is it easy to find the first season somewhere?
You have to subscribe to Starz. I'm not 100% sure, and I can check for you on whether you can buy the season separately on iTunes or something like that.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to.
It's not a problem for me because I steal my cable from Harry, so it should be easy for me.
Yeah, you can get it on Prime Video at the very least. So if you want to go over to Amazon and buy the first season, it's eminently bingeable and awesomely filmed. So definitely check it out, particularly because it is very trippy and falls in on itself. So
yeah,
you want to be able to jump in with both feet.
All right. I like it. There's a sequel to The Jungle Book from a couple of years ago, the live-action version of The Jungle Book. It's called Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle, but it's on Netflix. It's not in theaters.
It's actually even more confusing than that. It's another remake of The Jungle Book. It was very briefly in a couple of theaters, I believe, in New York and L.A., just to give it a qualifying for Oscars run. But it is a decidedly more adult take. It's from Andy Serkis, who you might, well, probably not recognize, but you know is the voice of Gollum.
Yeah.
He did the motion capture for that. And many other things.
Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes series. He does some motion capture here, but it's a bevy of stars in the thing. Benedict Cumberbatch is in it, Christian Bale, Cate Blanchett does some of the characters. But I want to warn you, it's actually really well done and often very beautiful. It's very violent. So if you have kids at home and you're hoping to watch another thing like Disney's Jungle Book this weekend, do not, under any circumstances, watch Mowgli, Legends of the Jungle. But if you want to see something that doesn't feel like the safe Disney version and feels a little closer to Rudyard Kipling's books, it might be interesting to check out.
I like violence. My son Peckinpah and I will check it out.
They'll love it.
What shows do I not know about that you, with your fabulous website, could turn me on to? What are some shows either on network television or somewhere that I can find that I'll get into?
Sure. I mean, one of them that's just kind of top of mind because Netflix is releasing a holiday special today is an insane anime show called Neo Yokio. It's a mashup of a bunch of different anime-type tropes, which I understand not everybody is into, but Jaden Smith does a voice, Jude Law plays a robot butler, Susan Sarandon plays Jaden Smith's aunt, who is a witch. It's almost impossible to explain. If you, there's only a couple of episodes on Netflix, but there's supernatural elements, sci-fi elements. There's also weird romance elements. There's a hilarious running joke about an enormous Toblerone. It barely makes any
Wait,
sense.
Wait, when you say enormous Toblerone, we're talking about a candy bar, correct?
Yeah. Oh, it's a major plot point.
What is the name of the show again?
Neo Yokio, and it has a holiday special that hit today called Pink Christmas that is almost more incomprehensible than the main show, but it's one of my favorite things that I've watched recently.
And the target audience for this, Alex, would be who normally?
My daughter.
Yeah?
People who are tripping a little bit, maybe.
I don't know, maybe.
Something like that.
All right.
But I don't partake in that, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Oh.
I also recommended on the show before Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
If you haven't caught up on that, it's one of the best shows of the year. It's terrifying, but the characters are so good and it's so well filmed. I highly recommend checking that out as well.
Can I ask a question about another show that we discussed a few weeks ago? You talked about it on the show and then I watched all the episodes, and that's Homecoming. That's on Amazon Prime. It's with Julia Roberts. Here's a quick question. I enjoyed it, but instead of 10 half-hour episodes, couldn't that have been a two-hour movie?
Yeah, I think that's fair. It certainly has the arc of that, but Sam Esmail, who's the producer, he also worked on Mr. Robot. I think he's more comfortable with TV. Also, they were adapting the podcast, which was in half-hour episodes, and it's almost directly the script out of that. So I think that's what they were comfortable with versus downsizing the story.
Maybe.
I would argue I liked sitting with the characters. I thought Julia Roberts was so good. Everybody was so good. The conversations were interesting. So I appreciated a bit taking the time there, though I definitely see your point.
I'll tell you who sold that for me is, and I've loved him in the past, is Bobby Cannavale. This guy just owns it. When he's on screen, that all your attention is on him every time. He's so good.
He's fantastic, and he's so weirdly funny and dangerous at the same time in it. He's great.
Yeah.
What was the record producer one that he just did that was canceled?
Oh, on HBO?
Yeah.
Vinyl.
Yeah. He was great in Vinyl.
Always good. Yeah. Let me ask you one more. I'm curious about this. This is a movie. I keep seeing Jennifer Aniston on the late night talk shows talking about this movie that she's made for Netflix called Dumplin'. What is this about?
Mm-hmm. This is an adaptation of a book. It stars Daniel McDonald, who fans of the movie Patty Cakes might recognize. Jennifer Aniston plays her mom, who is a beauty queen. She's been a beauty queen for years. And her daughter, who is overweight, decides, you know what, I'm going to enter a beauty pageant as well. It has original music and recordings from Dolly Parton, because the main character is obsessed with Dolly Parton. There's Harold Perrineau and other famous drag queens, if you're into RuPaul's Drag Race, who are in it. But it's mostly a sweet story about a daughter and her mother figuring out how to connect when they're very different people. Our reviewer, Leah, loved the movie. She thought it was wonderful. So if you're looking for something, a good ugly cry this weekend, that's one to check out.
Netflix spent $100 million on Friends. Now, my dad spent a lot of money to buy me Friends, but will Netflix get their money's worth?
I think they will. Shows like Friends and The Office in particular still really, really heavily draw eyeballs, which is insane when you think about it. They've been off the air for years. You can get the DVDs. You can buy it places. But people watch Netflix in droves, and you could see that from the reaction when they thought for a very short 24-hour period that Friends was going to be pulled from the service. People freaked out. I think there's such a glut of new shows constantly coming to places like Netflix. Sometimes you just want to turn to something that's a little more comforting, something that you know. You just want to watch a half-hour episode of Friends, turn that on, and that's it, and you're done.
Joey makes everything right, doesn't he?
Exactly. I'm the main character of Friends.
How you doing?
Alex, always fun to talk to you. Some great information today, and if you want to hear more, learn more about what's going on television, visit Decider.com. Alex, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week at this time.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
That's Alex
Albin from Decider.com. We'll do this. We'll take a little break. We'll get you some news. And then the great Tony Orlando will join us very soon thereafter. Stick around. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN.